Today on More to Life, Clash of the Titans. Is conflict wrecking your relationships? Tired of butting heads with the people in your life? We'll help you resolve tensions with grace. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Clash of the Titans. Is conflict wrecking your relationships? Maybe you're tired of butting heads with the people in your life or one particular person that you're having a hard time getting on with. We want to help you resolve those tensions with grace. Give us a call. That number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
You know, it seems like we feed off of conflict these days. You know, since social media was invented, it feels like there's no way to avoid it except to go completely off-grid. You know, there was a time, not that long ago, feels like a zillion years, where the conflict you had to deal with was with people you had a face-to-face, day-in, day-out relationship with. Your spouse, your kids, your parents, your siblings, the people you worked with. But it was something you had to work out because everybody was invested in some way in being in that relationship, for the most part. Now we're dealing with our blood pressure going up and our tensions swelling from strangers on a constant basis. And then those strangers' arguments end up affecting the people we actually are relating with. So if somebody on the internet says something and one of our loved ones agrees with it and we disagree with it, suddenly we're having a fight that some stranger has started. And it can get really difficult. And then we have to handle all the real conflicts of life, when people are overstepping our boundaries, when people are not being kind to us or treating us with the dignity that we deserve, where people go out of their way to use us in some way or to insult us in some way, or we just don't seem to ever be able to see eye to eye. Oh, it can be a lot. It can really be a lot.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us who is that person who you have a hard time getting along with. You know, we all have someone, maybe that person who you butt heads with or who gets under your skin, whether it's someone close to you, like your spouse, your younger or adult child, a parent or sibling, or someone you only see once in a while, or as Lisa was saying, you know, those virtual arguments as well. Mm-hmm. Conflict can spoil any relationship and wreck your inner peace. Let us help you manage conflict and resolve those arguments and disagreements that divide you and the people in your life. 877-573-7825.
And here's a way to sort of know if God wants you to start addressing a conflict in some way, shape, or form. When you're not with that person, are you still fighting with them in your head? Are you still coming up with all the answers you should have said the last time you had some kind of interaction with them?
Wait a minute, other people besides me do that?
Yes,
what?
A lot of us do that. Your energy isn't going to your own self-preservation. Your energy isn't going toward the people you love, even your prayer life in a meaningful way. There are these times that it's just you having an argument with them, and they're nowhere around. And it does take our peace from us. It blocks the Holy Spirit in some ways, unless we say, wait a minute, they're not even here. But I'm having this conversation in my head. No, we could say, I'm just going to shut it off. But maybe that's not what we're supposed to do. Maybe we're supposed to hear that as the Holy Spirit saying, something needs to be made right, to be put in right order in this relationship. But if you don't know how to do it, you don't want to do it, we're here to help you do it with God's grace today on More to Life. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering what that is and how it can possibly help you deal with conflict in your relationships, well, you've come to the right place. St. John Paul gave us this theology of the body, which is a series of reflections on how we could discern God's plan for a more abundant life and healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design and creation and his work through salvation history.
Now, the theology of the body reminds us that at all times, we need to treat other people, even those people that we're in conflict with, that we agree with, that we find offensive or obnoxious or upsetting, everyone, as persons. When we're in conflict, our natural fallen response is to stop treating our opponent as a person and instead see them as an enemy or an idiot or a nuisance or an aggressor. As soon as we start thinking of someone that way, we indulge our sinful tendency to depersonalize the other, treating them as a thing to be ignored or overpowered, dismissed, or shouted down. None of these responses are consistent with our call to create communities of love and to treat others as unique and unrepeatable persons deserving of the dignity and respect that they have as children of God.
So what do? Well, we empathize. Empathy is the quality that allows us to accept that people do things for reasons that make sense to them, and that we're obliged to do what we can to understand those reasons. Now, I want to be clear about something here. Empathy doesn't require us to agree with what the other person thinks, approve of what they're doing, or excuse any offenses they commit. It just gives us a way to assume that whatever they're doing, there's some kind of positive intention or need that's driving their thoughts or words and actions. And if I can help them identify that or come in identifying it, then I can help them find alternative ways to meet those needs. You know, empathy gives us a starting point for respectful change. It reminds us that the best defense is not a good offense, but rather compassion. Empathy allows us to be strong enough to encounter someone we disagree with and say, help me understand what you're trying to do. And then let's work together to find a respectful way to meet that need. So let's talk about that today on More to Life, on our show titled Clash of the Titans. Is conflict wrecking your relationships? Tired of butting heads with someone in your life? Let us help you resolve those tensions and conflicts with grace. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we come into your presence, and we bring to you those people that we're having a hard time getting along with, those people that we're arguing with, that we are having disagreements with, those relationships where there's tension between us and the other. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to have the wisdom, the compassion, and the grace that we need to break through those barriers, to decrease the tension, and to find solutions that work for all involved. Help us to be true peacemakers, not by avoiding conflict or pouring more gas on it, but rather by working to create the right order that allows peace to grow. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary And in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Clash of the Titans. Call up and share, who is that person you have a hard time getting along with? The person you butt heads with or gets under your skin. Whether that's somebody close to you, like your spouse, your younger or adult child, a parent, a sibling, or someone you only see once in a while. Let us help you manage those conflicts and disagreements and arguments in grace-filled ways and find solutions that let you feel good about where you came to with this other person. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Mel, who's listening to EWTN in EWTN Radio, excuse me, in Georgia on The Quest.
Hi, Mel. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Well, hi. So my situation, you've just really inspired me to call today. So my situation is that my son has been using drugs for some time, and the family has decided to do an intervention.
Okay.
And he does not admit that he has a problem. And so Every day I pray for strength to say the right thing and to inspire him. But I just wondered if you had any other kind words to get somebody to realize that people are coming from a place of love and trying to get him to change.
Sure. And what when you say he's addicted to drugs, what is he using? Do you know?
Prescription Xanax mostly, but other things that he's finding from his supposed friends. Different pills mostly. I mean, he's nothing.
Nothing more intense than that right now.
How old is he?
He's an adult. He's 30.
Okay.
And
is he living on his own or
does he have his own family?
Well, he is living in a townhouse by himself, but he's soon to be evicted.
I see.
But he doesn't have a spouse or children that are in the mix of this.
No, he is single, solo, right.
And is he able to hold down a job? Just trying to get a sense of the level.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Yep.
It's been very difficult. He had been through COVID. He was doing okay as a driver. And then since then, just hasn't been able to with so many issues from drugs, like sleeping all the time, being just not able to drive or function or even talk sometimes.
Sure. And you said that the family is interested in doing an intervention. I mean, so you've talked with the wider family and they're willing to come along with this. All right.
Yes.
Have you spoken with any local drug and alcohol treatment center?
Yes.
You have.
Oh yeah. I mean, like we're trying everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, no. What I'm saying. No.
Do they have availability, and do they have someone who could be at an actual intervention?
Yeah, because usually you would coordinate that intervention with the drug and alcohol treatment center, because immediately when you're done with the intervention, you want them to go right into the hospital.
You want that person to actually, from the hospital, to escort them into the rehab center so that they know that you're serious, so there is a plan in place. You know, you said, Mel, you know, do we have kind words to kind of influence him? This isn't about kindness. This isn't about influencing. This is about being firm, letting him know he's destroying his life, that he's harming the people around him who love him, and that you have come up with a plan to help him.
Yeah, so I mean, first of all, we're adding you guys to our More to Life prayer list, and your son in particular. Let me just backtrack just a little bit, and then I'll come back around to the intervention thing. So just to give you an insight into the mind of the addict, addictions, as far as the addict is concerned, are not a problem for the addict. They're a problem for everybody else. You know, if I'm addicted, I found my solution, right? You know, he's taking drugs because it helps him check out and not have to worry about his life or deal with his problems. So as far as the addict is concerned, they've found the answer. It's not a problem for them. It's a problem for everybody around them. And so that's why it's so hard to convince them to stop taking drugs, because they don't have skills to deal with their life and solve their problems. So it's just this is the way I make myself feel better about this. So this is my answer. Why are you picking on me? Why don't you understand that if I stop doing this, then I don't know what to do, right? So it's terrifying for the addict to not take drugs or drink. And, you know, again, so it's a problem as far as they're concerned. This is a problem for everybody else, but not for me. So that's why it's so hard to motivate an addict to get help, because they really do believe they've found their answer. And so an intervention is when the people that love you and the people that are in your life come together to essentially say, you know, this is how your behavior has hurt me. This is what it's doing to our relationship. And if you don't get help, I can't be in relationship with you anymore. Ideally, that would include employers or, you know, anybody else that's significant or important to the addict. And it needs to be done with a professional present so that that person can facilitate the interaction. And then right after the intervention, if the person's willing to go, they need to be able to go to a treatment center that has an open bed, which is another reason why you want to contact a drug and alcohol treatment center first to talk about, you know, how could we set up an intervention. Because if there's any time at all between the intervention and admission to treatment to a treatment center, they'll talk themselves out of it.
They'll talk themselves out of it. And if you don't have that professional there and that open bed that they can go to immediately at the treatment center, it gets out of control very easily, because there is no one better at manipulating their loved ones than an addict. So you want this to be very professionally handled. So you're contacting the center first. You're making sure there's a bed and a professional that can be there with you at a scheduled intervention. You want to make sure people can get your son to that intervention, even if it's about, you know, inviting him to something that he thinks he's just going to a party or a gathering. And you want to make sure that that person, that professional, is there with you the entire time, because if not, it's not an intervention. It's just you begging and nagging at him one more time to stop taking drugs. And he's not capable of stopping taking drugs by himself at this time. He won't want to, for all the reasons that Greg said. And he will twist the situation and make you feel guilty and just disempowered, and it won't work.
So that's your next step, is contacting a drug and alcohol treatment center to talk to them about scheduling an intervention for a time when they have an open bed, and then working with that intervention counselor to go through the steps of what you need to do to prepare for this. Mel, I hope that these ideas will help you identify those next steps in this process. We've added you and your son to our More to Life prayer list. And if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on More to Life. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about the clash of the titans, the conflict that comes into when we have, you know, two people who are butting heads and really struggling to get along with each other, to see each other's points of view, to resolve those conflicts and arguments. No matter who the conflict is with, we all have a hard time breaking through it, and sometimes more than others. So if you are in conflict with somebody you care about, and you're looking for ways, graceful ways, to respond to that challenge, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Father Thomas Loya of the Tabor Life Institute. He'll be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on how we can effectively manage conflict. Stick around for that and more of your calls after the break.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
Are you longing to hear God's voice? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian prayer series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking, and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Everything we say in the Mass is directly from Scripture. The opening prayer is the closing words from the deacon. Everything except the homily, which is an actual reflection or is supposed to be on the readings of the day, everything is directly from Scripture. So when people say, well, I never heard the Bible at Mass, and that's why I left the Catholic Church, that's simply factually wrong. They either have not been to a Mass or are not willing to admit just how scripturally sound the Mass is. So I think it's very important to study Scripture. So important, and especially as it relates to the celebration of the Eucharist, right? Which is a coming together of a celebration of Thanksgiving. That's what the word means. And there's all kinds of great things you can learn about our relationship with the Lord in the Eucharist and in the Mass by studying Scripture.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and our show is titled Clash of the Titans. We talk about conflict, those people that we're butting heads with and just can't see eye to eye with, no matter how hard we try. 877-573-7825. Give us a call and let us help you resolve those tensions gracefully. Joining us right now, Father Thomas Loya. He is a pastor, an expert on the theology of the body. He's also a counselor and an artist and the host of Light of the East, heard on EWTN Radio. Father Loya, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you. Great to be here. And thanks a lot for a little promo for Light of the East.
Absolutely. Program. Well, you wanted to share some insight from the theology of the body that can help us manage conflict gracefully. Where would we even start?
Well, St. John Paul II calls this the personalistic norm. Sounds like a big word, but basically he's saying that all humans, no matter who they are, if we don't like them, if we think they're terrible, whatever conflict we have, all humans are persons. Now, that's a big term. Person takes its identity from God, actually. That's how we're different than animals. We're persons because we're in the image and likeness of God, which means that the only way, as he says, to relate to a person, even the worst person, is through love and responsibility, which is actually the title of one of his books, which means you do what is necessary, what has to be done for them in that moment. And that means understanding this word compassion, if you use, a very important word. From the Latin, compassion is com, like with, passio, compassio, known as to suffer with, to endure, to, Pope Francis would call it, accompany, as it were. And what you do then, you have to remember something we all got from baptism. We die to self so as to rise to our best self. So while you're listening to this person who's giving you a hard time, you're in conflict with, be present to them. In other words, die to yourself. Forget about yourself in that moment. Be very present to them. And a lot of times that can really disarm them. It's amazing. Don't play the victim, though. I'm not saying you're their victim. Then look for how both of you are maybe striving for the same virtue, especially like in marriage and stuff like that. Both parents are interested in the good of the kids, but they might have different ways of arriving at that or looking at that. So you want to try to connect where you can in the virtue, but then look for how can we best arrive at both of us at the best way to accomplish that same shared virtue. It's a shared virtue. This is very common in conflict. And as you said earlier, too, a person may be coming from a point that they believe in, even though it may be a little misguided or not articulating it well. So you got to try and look for that. See, everything also, you know, conflict is not, it's not comfortable. People don't like it. But you have to try and see it as opportunity for mutual growth and holiness. And it takes a lot of, you have to kind of prepare yourself mentally, spiritually. Okay, I'm going to take a deep breath, I'm going to be present, so on.
You said something really interesting, though, that I think a lot of people miss, and this is something we try to emphasize in our counseling practice, CatholicCounselors.com, that you said that it's a way of growing in holiness, that the way we manage conflict is actually a spiritual exercise as much as it is a relationship exercise. What would you say about that?
Yes, it absolutely is. Everything comes down to spirituality. Even good psychology is actually ultimately good spiritual. Like it's about the human person. And human person is made, you know, in the image and likeness of God. Our spirituality is what governs. So when you have these encounters, you really do have to draw upon the deep Christian spirituality. That's what really works. You see that with Christ. You know, he was present, very present to the person, even if it was an enemy. But he came back at them with whatever was best. Sometimes it was very, very compassionate, very kind, gentle thing. Sometimes it was kind of a rather direct instruction for them or correction. But he was present to them. And that, yeah, that is all about spirituality. These are moments to grow in holiness, to reach down deep into those deep human virtues that really make us, you know, fully alive, full persons, holy persons. It's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy.
Amen. But Father Loy, I want to thank you for the insights that you shared. And if folks would like to learn more about your good work, I encourage them to go to taborlife.com. That's T-A-B-O-R, like the mountain, taborlife.com. And also tune into your program, Light of the East, which airs on EWTN Radio. Check local listings for times. And we are taking your calls today, folks, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about conflict on our show titled The Clash of the Titans. Is conflict wrecking a relationship? Are you tired of butting heads with someone in your life? We want to help you resolve those tensions gracefully, whether that person is close to you, like your spouse or your younger or adult child, a parent or sibling, or maybe somebody you only see once in a while. Regardless, conflict is not a lot of fun. And as Father Loya was saying, you know, developing those virtues that help us manage conflict well is as much a spiritual exercise as a relationship exercise. And we want to help you connect with the grace that you need to find compassionate and effective responses to the people you're in conflict with. Let's talk about how to make that happen for you at 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Back with your calls and questions right after this.
What is truth? Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, not realizing that he was looking at truth. Jesus Christ is the truth and the source of all truth. The Catholic Catechism states that man tends by nature toward the truth and that he is obliged to honor and bear witness to it. Thomas Aquinas asserts, men could not live together if there were not mutual confidence that they were being truthful with one another. Truth entails both honesty and discretion between what ought to be expressed and what ought to be kept secret. Jesus told Pilate that he had come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Thus, the Catechism states, in situations that require witness to the truth of Jesus, a Christian must profess it without equivocation, even at the sacrifice of his own life. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Hi there, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Men in general, and fathers in particular, put a tremendous amount of pressure on ourselves. We know that we're meant to lead our wife and children to God. However, many of us weren't raised in homes where this mission was modeled for us. We intuitively know we don't have the first idea how to become the men God wants us to be or how to lead our families to Christ, and it terrifies us. Unfortunately, we often try to cover our ignorance and the fear of our incompetence by setting ourselves up as angry, part-time pagan deities of our household, commanding obedience from everyone around us. But if we fall prey to this temptation, any rebellion we experience on the part of our kids isn't defiance against us. It's actually obedience to the impulse God has created in every one of his children to resist bowing down to any god but him. To learn more about commanding healthy authority as a father, check out my book, Be Dadattudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today on More to Life, we're talking about conflict on our show titled Clash of the Titans. Is conflict wrecking your relationship with someone? You know, maybe you're tired of butting heads with that particular person, and you're looking for some grace-filled ways to break through the conflict and find some solutions. Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
We want to send out some congratulations to another great EWTN partner, St. Michael Communication, 101.9 FM, serving Missoula, Montana, and celebrating 8 years with EWTN.
Congratulations to Randy Ballas, Jack Ballas, David House, and Debbie Sullivan. And thank you for all your good work building the kingdom from your friends here at EWTN. And listeners, wherever you're tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic radio station, certainly with your prayers, but with your dollars as well. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades so we can keep supporting you in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. With that, let's go to the phones and talk about conflict. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Suzanne, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kansas.
Suzanne, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I've been married for 44 and a half years, and my husband has a habit of, when I'm trying to tell him a story or something that happened, he just cuts me off literally in mid-sentence, and he'll either say, get to the bottom line, or I'm not interested. And then another thing that he does is he picks apart some of my semantics. Like the other day, I was telling him I had to get a haircut and blah, 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 other things I wanted to do. That day, I was giving him my plan, and he cut me off in mid-sentence, and he said, you don't have to get a haircut. You want to get a haircut. And he literally started an argument because I said, I have to get a haircut today when I don't really have to. Like, it's not a life and death situation.
Let me ask you a question. Is this a new thing, or is this been something that's been going on the entire
marriage? No, it has been going on for years and years. And I have asked him to please stop interrupting me and cutting me off or telling me he's not interested, that it's very rude and it hurts my feelings.
And how does he respond?
He doesn't ever take criticism well. He throws it back on me, and therefore I feel like he gaslights me all the time.
What do you mean by gaslighting? People use that word.
Well, just like he makes it think that it's my fault. Okay. Like, trying to think of a recent example. Well, like he'll say, like when I told him that I didn't like him interrupting me and telling me that he wasn't interested in what I had to say, he goes, well, I'm sorry that you feel the way, but at least you know how I feel about it, which wasn't really an apology at all.
Not at all, no.
So,
no, I just think he throws it back on me. He can't ever take a blame for anything.
Okay. And I have you tried to do anything to address this over the years besides just telling him how hurtful this is? Hello?
No, I'm trying to think. I just tell him that it makes me mad. I think it's rude. It's hurtful.
So you've never done anything like retrovi or marriage counseling at all?
No.
Have you suggested it, but he just refuses, or it's just never occurred to you?
Not really. I may have suggested counseling before, but he just refuses. He would have nothing to do with it.
That's all right. All right. So let me offer some thoughts here. Yeah, I mean, that's grossly disrespectful behavior, and it's not his place to tell you he's not interested or to shut you down like that. That's really emotionally abusive, frankly.
And honestly, I mean, let's back up from this. If you hadn't committed your life to this man, if you were in a conversation with somebody at a party and they treated you that way, you'd walk away and you'd never pursue that relationship again. And yet, because you are in your marital relationship with your husband, you're giving him a lot of latitude here for many, many years to treat you badly and not have to deal with any of the effects or responsibility for his behavior.
So I want to go back to something we've been talking about through the show and that Father Thomas Loya highlighted in his segment about conflict being a spiritual endeavor as well. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes we think that setting boundaries or addressing offenses, you know, that's something we do for ourselves. And it certainly is. But it's also working for your mutual good, right? You know, by learning how to set better boundaries with his behavior and even, you know, get the help that you need over and against his will, you're not being rude, you're not being selfish, you're doing what marriage is asking us to do. You know, marriage is meant to be a sacrament of healing. You know, it's meant to heal the damage that sin has done to our ability to love each other the way God wants us to. And so by cooperating with the grace of the sacrament to really effectively challenge your husband, you're working for his good. You're doing what the sacrament of marriage asks him to do. You're growing in strength and grace as a beloved daughter of God, and you're challenging him to be a more godly man. So what do you do? I'm going to give you some practical tips to kind of handle the moment better, and then I want to offer some resources to kind of build on that. So when he interrupts you like that, you want to stop, and you've done this part already, but hear me out, because there's more to it. You want to stop immediately and say, that was rude, and I need you to apologize. He won't. He'll push back, he'll throw it on you, and you don't listen to anything he says after that point, because everything he says after that point is just a script. You know, all those things that he's saying to you that don't make sense, he's dropping into his limbic system, his feeling brain. And when a person's in their feeling brain, the things that they say aren't really ordered to solving the problem or being empathetic in any way. They're just ordered to shutting you down and avoiding the issue. So he's just reacting at that point. So it's not worth responding to anything that he's saying. It's not worth even listening. So what you want to do is use the broken record technique at that point, where he says, you know, blah, 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 and you say, well, I'm really sorry to hear that, but the fact is you were rude to me, and we can't continue this until I get a sincere apology from you. And he'll blow up again, and maybe he'll go away at some point. You just keep saying that over and over again. Like, don't respond to anything else he says. Just keep saying, I hear that, but you were rude, and I need an apology for that behavior in order for us to be able to continue talking at all. At some point, he's going to get sick of you saying that, and then he's going to walk away. And he's going to come back an hour or two later and want to talk to you about something else. Hey, what's for dinner? Or what are we doing on Saturday? Or whatever. He's going to want to talk to you about something he's interested in. At that point, you say, I'm glad you seem like you're in a better place, but until you can apologize for the way you treated me sincerely, you're not a safe person to have any conversation with, and I'm done talking to you. So when you can apologize sincerely for the way you treated me, we can talk about whatever you want, but I'm not moving forward until then. And he'll be, I can't believe you're bringing this up again. I can't believe, and he'll just throw more stuff at you. And what about you and that time that you did this and that?
He'll try a million things to just throw you off kilter and to break down your resistance.
And you just keep using that broken record technique. Yeah, I hear you, but until you can apologize for the way you treated me, you're not a safe person to have any conversation with. So you let me know when you're ready to say that you're sorry for that, and we can talk about whatever you want. And then he goes away again, and he comes back the next day, and says, hey, let's go to breakfast. I'd love to talk to you about breakfast, but until you can apologize for the way... This might take you a month. I mean, if it does, I hope it doesn't, but if it does, I'm just trying to drive the point home. You need to be a brick wall, right? Because in healthy relationships, what happens is when one spouse offends the other, you know, that spouse might call them out on it, and then there's an immediate course correction. Gosh, I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to come off that way. I'm sorry that you took it that way. Whatever. And there's a course correction, right? You have to build that into your marriage because he's not capable of it. I suspect that he came from a household where it wasn't safe to take blame. If not an abusive household, then probably a very authoritarian household, where, you know, he if you accepted blame, you were shamed for it, and so he's got a hair trigger to any of this stuff. But that's not an excuse. That's an invitation to heal that your marriage is giving you, that the grace of the sacrament is giving you both an opportunity to heal. So I want you to use that technique that I just described, right, until he breaks down. I when I said it might take a month, I had a client in the pastoral counseling practice who had to take this out for a month. That was the only thing she said to her husband. I hear what you're saying, but until you can apologize for the way you treated me, and sincerely, and talk with me through how we're going to handle this better in the future, you're not a safe person to have any conversation with. So come back when you're ready. That is literally the only thing she said for a month. She was getting to the point where she was going to call the divorce lawyer, and he finally broke down and said, "You're right. I'm really sorry. What can we do?" But it took her being that strong. Now, having said that, that will probably not be the only thing you need after that point, right? He'll see you in a somewhat different light. But you'll still need support. And that's why I would encourage you to seek some professional help for your marriage. You could do something called Retrovi. You can learn more about that at helpourmarriage.com. That is a program that helps couples learn to communicate more effectively and really listen to each other. It's not a replacement for counseling, but it's a good first step. In terms of marriage counseling, I would really encourage you to make an appointment either with us at CatholicCounselors.com, if you're looking for faithful ways to respond to this, or somebody local that you trust, and make the appointment and tell him that you're going, and that you're going with him or without him, but change is coming. That you love him, but you're tired of dealing with his behavior, and you need to find some ways to change this. And change is coming, whether he wants to come along with you into the counseling appointment or not. Because you can do one-person marriage therapy. In fact, we do a lot of one-person marriage pastoral counseling at CatholicCounselors.com, where you learn to set appropriate boundaries or build rapport in certain ways, mostly at the same time. So it gives that your spouse the message that I do love you, and I'll continue being loving to you, but I'm not going to tolerate this offensive behavior anymore.
So should you choose to use somebody in your local area, you want to ask very specifically, are you equipped to do one-person marriage therapy? It's a very specialized thing to be able to do, but you really can change the entire dynamic. Because it's very much like, you know, a mobile where, you know, the wind blows one piece, or you touch one piece, and everything shifts. When you shift your ability to manage this, to have the skills you need so that you're no longer being treated with disrespect by him or anybody else in your life because you've gotten stronger and have really good skills, things will shift in the relationship because the whole dynamic will shift.
So try some of these practical tips just on your own, but if you need more support, and I suspect that you will, then don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a good, faithful Catholic counselor to help guide you through this. Whether he wants to join you or not, we can still make progress there. Suzanne, thank you so much for the call, and if there is more we can do for you, don't hesitate to call us back here or reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13.
If one gives an answer before he hears, it is his folly and shame.
So this goes back to what we've been talking about, the idea of empathy, caretaking in conflict, really needing to hear each other. And Proverbs is you know, pretty strong on this, that how often do we find ourselves, I accuse myself of this too, how often do we just listen to the other person long enough to know what we're going to say so we can jump in and attack them or come back with a right, you know, the response that makes us feel good without actually moving the conversation forward?
And honestly, it is a spiritual exercise to take the time to hear and process before responding or saying something. But it's heavy lifting to do, especially in this atmosphere where everything on the internet has just enough words to incite a reaction and not actually explain the situation until you click on it. So we're all getting this response of, oh my goodness, that's horrible, I have to react to this. And we get our blood up, if you will, about just about everything. This is truly a spiritual exercise to hear one another, to have empathy, to be able to have respect for one another in this way.
So a simple thing you can do when somebody says something that puts you back on your heels is just to take a breath and say to God in your head, Lord, help me to know how to respond to this in a way that will help me be my best self, and invite the other person to be their best self too. And then, once you've brought that situation to God and consecrated that moment to Him, then you can move forward with whatever you need to say. All right, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about conflict on our show titled Clash of the Titans. Is conflict wrecking your relationships? Are you tired of butting heads with that person that's just getting under your skin and kind of hard to deal with? Well, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Back with more of your calls coming up right after the break.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
He is honored by the Church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the Church's most famous guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It helped him earn the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Italy aficionado Teresa Tomio's newest book is coming soon to the Ave Maria online store. In Italy's Shrines and Wonders, Teresa Tomio provides how best to navigate the most popular sites, best routes, and how to best soak in all the beauty Italy has to offer. She also shares the most inspiring journeys to make your Italy excursion utterly unforgettable. Shrines and Wonders from Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomio, will be found soon at AveMariaRadio.net.
Steve Ray here. Next year's a Jubilee year, and we're going to celebrate it in Rome. But not only Rome. This is our Saints and Shrines of Italy pilgrimage, and joining us is our good friend Teresa Tomio.
Yes, Steve, fantastico. Walking through the holy doors, immersing ourselves in the deeply Catholic culture of Italy. I'll be joining you and Janet in Florence and Assisi.
Join us this May for the Jubilee year, from Milan to Florence and much more, all the way to Rome.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today, our show is titled Clash of the Titans, as we talk about conflict and how to resolve it gracefully. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Nathan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Nathan. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on, man?
Hi, thank you so much. I'm actually very similar to the last caller, so I'm kind of the offender. So okay. I tend to like to break things into smaller chunks since I have autism, but it comes exactly the same way as to my wife. And I have the wonderful habit of also saying things very declaratively, like instead of I really struggle with asking it in a question. So pretty much when we've done the marriage counseling, that actually hasn't worked, but doing the individual seems to have helped, and I just was looking for any suggestions you might have.
Sure, and let me ask, how, when this happens, you know, is your wife able to be patient with you because of you know, the autism spectrum stuff, or is that a point of a big contention between the two of you? How much tension does it cause whenever you do this?
It causes her a lot of tension because she'll get quiet, and I think it's just more in the self-control, like ADHD realm, than like frustration with the autism.
Okay, I understand. Thank you, Nathan. I really appreciate your question. And, you know, you really have a beautiful heart, and I appreciate your humility in asking for this. I would say that what you're describing is different from the last caller, because the last caller was describing her husband's behavior as, you know, he just doesn't care about her, Right, he just gets to a point where he's like, I'm done listening to you, and it's very disrespectful. What you're doing, right, is because of the autism spectrum symptoms that you struggle with, which make it difficult to pick up on social cues sometimes, or really read what the other person's saying. So what you want to do here is sit down with your wife and talk about signals that she could give you when she is feeling like you're cutting her off or being kind of niggling about the right words. You know, it might be a word that you were agree on together, you know, to say something like, you know, I don't know.
Any
you
code
say goldfish,
word. Yeah.
Right? You know,
there's a random that, word that snaps you into the signal of, oh, wait a minute, I've done this and I need to change that so that we can have a respectful conversation and I can show my wife I love her.
But just a code word or a signal of some kind that can let you know that we need to stop the conversation for a minute and just sort of process what's happening here. You know, so she says, you know, goldfish, just to use a word. And you say, okay, well, help me understand, how did I come across there? And she might say, well, Nathan, I really felt like you shut me down. Or, Nathan, I really feel like you're being too picky about my word choice. Or whatever it is, right? And then you can talk through that and then move on with the conversation. But you want to be able to get that feedback in the moment so that you can start understanding those cues a little bit better from her. You might also want to check in every day with her. And you say you have a little prayer time together, and where you give your relationship to God and ask him to help you be the husband that he wants you to be, and she asks God for the grace to be the wife that you need her to be and that God wants her to be. And then you have a little conversation. So what times did we feel closest together today? When did you feel most connected to me? And what did we do to make that happen? And was there any time today where you felt less connected or like, you know, I wasn't hearing you, or where you didn't feel seen by me? And then you sort of talk through that. It's not a chance to refight those situations. What it is, it's a chance to learn from those things and talk about how the next time something like that comes up, we can handle it differently.
Or how you can take those positive experiences you had together and sort of plan them into your day and your relationship so they end up having more of an influence, happening more often, so that you have that really positive foundation. And in doing this, you're both showing each other how committed you are to each other and the spiritual exercise of loving one another well.
Nathan, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com. We have a call from Julie in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm going to just take it from what the screener said because we've only got about 2.5 minutes, but I can answer this question pretty quickly. She says that she liked what we said to the previous caller about kind of drawing that line and using the broken record technique and saying, listen until you can apologize for what you did sincerely and talk through how we can handle it differently in the future. You're not a safe person to have any conversation with. But she says she likes that idea, but how could she respond if her husband comes back and says that she's just stonewalling and saying the same thing over and over again and not fixing anything? You do the same thing. You say, well, I'm really sorry you feel that way, but until you can apologize for what you did and talk through a better way to handle that next time, you're not a safe person to have any conversation with. You're not saying you're not going to talk to him.
Yeah, this is not the cold shoulder. This is not shutting him out. This is not going on strike. This is saying, you can have a relationship with me. You can come through this door. I'm not stonewalling you, but this is the entry point.
But if he's saying that, because if you're saying what I'm saying, right, look, I'm sorry you feel that way, but until you can apologize sincerely for the way you treated me and we can talk about a better way to handle similar situations in the future, you're not a safe person to have that conversation with. So come back to me when you're ready to do that. You're not shutting the door on him. That's not stonewalling. That's saying we can go forward. We just have to go through this door. And if he accuses you of stonewalling, he's just saying, well, I don't want to walk through that door. And that's kind of the problem, right? So you actually are addressing the problem by using this technique, because you're saying, I'm not going to let you roll over me with rude and disrespectful comments. We're going to walk through this respectful door together to find the grace-filled solutions that God has in store for us. All right, Julie, if there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. I apologize for not being able to bring you on, but they're going to be playing us out in like 30 seconds, so I didn't want to have to cut you off in the middle of it. But if you'd like to learn, call in again when we have a little more time. You can reach out to us here. You might want to check out our book, How? Sorry. Having no. Shoot, I forgot. My
That's what comes with having.
How to heal your marriage and nurture lasting love? There it is. How to heal your marriage and nurture lasting love? It looks at 8 habits that healthy couples practice in their relationships, and breaks it down so any couple can learn from those. Again, how to heal your marriage and nurture lasting love. Or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you are stuck in conflict with someone you care about and it's just wrecking your peace and kind of messing up the relationship, let us help you find grace-filled ways to respond to those challenges. Learn more at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can connect with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Then remember, folks, with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because with His grace, there really is much, much more to life. Thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.